Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. And today we're diving into the world of midlife transformations with a very special guest, Dr. Deepa Macha. She's not just reshaping faces at her clinic, Cosmetic Laser MD, but also redefining midlife dating and entrepreneurship. Stay tuned as we uncover just how taking care of your outer self can boost your inner confidence and maybe even your love life. Welcome, Deepa. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Hello. I love you so much. As you know, you've become a dear friend in the last year. Somewhere around that time. And I just adore you. And I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I'm so honored that you would, you know, jump on and talk about all of the, you know, intricacies of going through what you did. And we can just jump kind of into a little bit about, I'd love to just kind of find out how you got into, after a long career of hospital medicine, and how, what inspired you to get into the aesthetic side of medicine?
I think that I've always had a passion for beauty. And I do say that I'm the original Dr. Pimple Popper. I used to chase my brother around when we were kids trying to pop pimples. And if I ever looked at anybody too closely, they're like, stop that, stop that. I love beautiful, clear skin. I think it's the vision to your soul. And when I first, I think, got introduced to skincare, I was in my 20s and I started playing around with tretinoin, glycolic acid, and I was constantly having like reactions. And at that point, I was like, am I allergic to this? But I now know those were anticipated reactions. So now I have such strong skin that I can tolerate those things. But I really think that everything starts with skin. Skin is a reflection of how other people view you, how you view yourself. It's a mirror to so many things. And for young people, it really is an important link to self-esteem.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I can just see my teenage daughter has dealt with crazy acne for years. And mind you, when I was a teenager, I didn't have that same issue. Only when I got pregnant was I experiencing like bad skin. So it's interesting how some young people have this and some people don't. But yeah, self-esteem plays a big part of it for sure. And I'm sure you see this on a daily
basis. Everybody. Sometimes people focus on other things like injectables and filler, but no matter who it is, I think that skin quality is a basis of how we view ourselves.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I mean, it is the largest organ in our body, right?
It's the largest organ in our body. True that.
Yes. And I think a lot of us forget about that. What do you teach your clients? Because it's so important. I mean, is it, you know, SPF, drinking water? I mean, is it all of the above?
Well, it's all of the above. So when I first meet clients or patients or people in my office, I really don't quite jump into that yet. I really want to have them meet me because it is an intimate experience to share, you know, your pain points and what it is that's bothering you and where you want to go. And it's a moment where I can really see what it is that's impacting someone's confidence and how they're showing up in the world. And, you know, they may ask for lips or cheeks or brightening or pigment issues. And I never, ever, ever hesitate to, when I have the opportunity, to focus on skin. Because despite where anybody's coming from, that definitely matters. But, you know, establishing that trust is always the first step, you know. I want people to see my skin because I feel like I want them to be able to, you know, see my soul and to feel what I am inside. And I think it all begins with skin, our largest organ.
Yeah. And you make also a great point. You also make a great point because I had an old trainer tell me this. He goes, you would never go to a dentist that had like green teeth. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you would never go to someone like, I'm sure someone like, you know, you have gorgeous skin. You can tell you take care of yourselves and that someone wants to have your skins, right? You want to show that. And I think that's such an important part that someone wants to see that you are doing the same thing that you're
exactly.
Practice what you preach.
Exactly. Even with things like filler, you know, if someone looks overfilled and pillow faced, it's unlikely that their aesthetic is going to match yours, you know, unless that's what you're looking for. But if they're looking for natural results, you really want to find someone who mirrors that, who looks natural, who doesn't look like they've had anything done. I've had stuff done and I talk about it and I let people know because I want them to know that my aesthetic is as natural as can be.
Yeah. And that's important, too, because we all want, I mean, I've had stuff done since I was 25. It's the first time I ever got Botox. I was like, oh, it's called maintenance, you know, it's let me do. And it was just little tweaks in to help me feel more confident and more youthful looking. But there was one time when a third gen, of all people, put in the biggest lips that I have at, like, just went OD on my lips. And I looked ridiculous. Ridiculous. I see pictures. I'm like, who thought that was attractive?
Did Trump get it dissolved?
Well, back then that wasn't a thing, or maybe it was, but they didn't say anything. So no. So I just lived with it until it went down.
Well, you're
we're like, oh my God, who does that?
Well, you're clearly stunning and your lips are beautiful, very kissable.
Same, look at yours. I'm like, seriously, you have gorgeous, gorgeous lips. And I think, you know, I kind of want to talk about a little bit about how there's this only women go to get fillers or Botox, or that's just a woman's thing, when that's such the opposite. And do you experience that? Do you have quite a few male clients that come into your practice?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, men struggle with self-esteem as well and their appearance. And I have men of all ages and ethnicities who I see. Definitely the majority is women. I don't have a majority male population, but everybody wants to always look youthful, present themselves in a confident way. Men care about skin for sure, want to have, you know, especially young men with acne. It all starts at that age, and acne scarring. It keeps people from showing off in their lives. And filler has lots of application. It's not just for filling. There's different types of fillers that can be used for skin rejuvenation. So I've had the opportunity to bring that to a lot of young men, middle-aged men. You know, I've done threads also on men, some older. So everybody has something that they feel is preventing them from showing up in their lives in the best possible way.
Yeah. I love that you take a little bit more of a holistic approach to it. Like, it's, you know, creating their confidence. Because that's literally what I do. And a huge part of what I teach my clients is grooming and taking care of yourself. But it's so much more than that, because it might not just be getting a haircut or, you know, make sure you have the proper face, you know, products for your skin. But it is also little tweaks and things to help build and boost confidence. And so that you represent who you are and you can show up in the world confidently. And I love that you take more of a holistic approach to it, because I think a lot of MDs and people that I've experienced just want to push, like, you know, filler products, whatever. It's just like, they don't look at the whole picture.
I love the consortium of approach to things. So there's skin, always first with the skin, but there's a role for toxin. We all know it as Botox. There's a role for injectables, and there's regenerative types of fillers that where you build your own collagen. And there are some that volumize and just fill. So there's that spectrum. There's also energy devices. So when we talk about energy devices, that's lasers, but also things like radio frequency, microneedling, heat-based devices, all different types, you know, so that we can constantly, you know, we have to work hard. Women probably more so than men to always feel good and look good. And I'll never apologize for always wanting to look good. I want to look my best. I want to present myself in the best possible light. I want to be a role model for my children. I'm not a martyr. I want to work hard. I want to have something to show for it. And I think there's nothing wrong with working hard to have a body you're proud of, you know, skin and, you know, a rejuvenated look that you're proud of. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you are a high value woman, and just as you want to meet a high value man, someone that takes care of himself. And I think that shows a number of things, right? It's showing that you care about yourself enough. Your children are seeing that mommy cares about herself as well, so she can care for us. You know, when we give to ourselves first, just like, you know, I use the airplane example always, like when the mask is down, you know, put it on yourself and then put it on your child's mouth. And it's so important too. That's just like self-love and self-care. And you love yourself enough to care about yourself. And that's really what you're saying, that yes, I deserve to have all these things. I think there's people can look at that as maybe like, I don't know, they can look at it as bad or something. I don't even know why, but I think it's a beautiful thing that you take care of yourself to show your children and, you know, potential partner.
I've met your mom and she is lovely. And I was raised by a very strong mom as well. And the first thing that she ever taught me was to take care of myself. When I, you know, had my daughter, my oldest daughter, you know, and I'd be flying home from California, she would meet me at the airport, take the baby in the car seat, drop me off to have my threading done, my henna done in my hair, my nails, to get a massage, get it all done. And she'd be like, you know, spoon feeding the breast milk into my daughter's mouth because she wouldn't take the bottle. But she's like, you have to take care of yourself. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes. Thank you about my mom too. Yes. She's definitely been a role model in how I am a mother and how I have been able to do that by myself and also build a business that I love. Right. I think that's the biggest part. And I kind of wanted to ask you what was the transition about leaving traditional hospital medicine for this type of?
There's been a shift in clinical medicine. I love what I do. I mean, I have been a practicing emergency medicine physician for 25 years. So everything that means, including trauma, intensive care, boo-boos, all of the above. But it's a huge mix. And although I loved it, I felt like I needed to do something different and I needed to pivot. And it didn't magically appear at first. I happened upon it, although it's the most obvious choice. I loved aesthetic medicine. I love the opportunity to do procedures, to connect with people, to build relationships. I'm all about family and trust, and the relationships with people are an extension of that. And really finding out and connecting with an individual and learning what is holding them back. And I already did the 25 years, you know, those were my stomping grounds in the emergency department. And I did that and I was ready to move on. And, but, you know, again, it wasn't clear. It was obvious, but it wasn't clear to me. And then when it happened, I took that leap. I was 50 years old. That was almost 7 years ago, but I decided to do something new.
You look amazing. I had no idea how old you were because I don't have to learn. It's none of my business. Like, if you want to share, you look so great. Like, it's not even just until you're so beautiful and you can tell you take care of yourself. You have such a beautiful soul, and you give yourself so vulnerably to people that you meet in your inner circle. And I'm sure you give the same to your clients. And that's why you are so successful, because they can truly feel that from you. I mean, I think the first time I met you, I felt that. And you just really are an amazing soul. And I can't wait for you to meet the perfect person for you, because I think
I am manifesting that. I'm manifesting that. I'm not looking, but I'm manifesting that that will happen for me when I'm ready. And it will be a circumstance brought to me by the universe.
So how long were you married?
I was married 25 years. Yeah. So it was a very long, productive life. But when it ended very abruptly, very with a lot of difficulty on myself and my children. But everyone has to take their portion of the blame, you know, even though I didn't feel it at the time. We all come from a place where we have to take responsibility for our part of any relationship, right? And 7 years later, I can say that I am closer to healing than I've been before. This past weekend was my son's graduation, and I wanted to give my son the gift of having his father present in our family together. And I felt good about that, because it wasn't like that from my daughter's high school graduation, my other daughter's high school graduation, my son's high school graduation, and my first daughter's college graduation. And I thought it was about time that things were different. And I was able to do a lot of healing. And for the first time, I felt like I was ready to do it. And even if I wasn't ready to do it, I stepped into it, because divorce is trauma. And in that trauma, you know, everybody loses a family, the family that they know. They lose that safe unit of mother, father, and that place to be able to make plans, that where you have open communication. And when that ends, it's the end of something that's extremely, you know, missed for all people. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is you've done so much self-healing and growth that you were able to have him present for your son, which was probably very huge, not just on your part, but for your son. And I think you really saw that as, you know what, I've got this because I'm healed, and let me give you this gift of having your whole family there.
For my daughters too, because for the first time they didn't experience a tense situation, and it was they were grateful for it. They were really, really grateful for it. They were proud of me. I'm proud of me, you know, because then, you know, at heart, we are all children. You know, we all have our young selves, and we all feel vulnerable, and we all feel like, you know, this person didn't love me because I wasn't pretty enough, or I wasn't thin enough, or I wasn't, you know, good enough. I wasn't, whatever the story is, we all tell ourselves something. And no matter how amazing you may look on the outside, or how many degrees you have, or how successful you are in business, at the heart of it, we're all children. You know, we see that little girl or that little boy that needed love.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful message. And I'm so proud of you, by the way, I have to say. Like, that's huge, because I don't know if I'm also going through a similar situation where really fast, this is your interview, but I had to terminate rights from my daughter's biological father when I was successful when she was five, but he had never really been part of her life ever. And long story short, my little sister is graduating college this weekend. And so we're going to celebrate. And at the same time, my daughter's biological cousin is also graduating from the same school. And I felt like I got slapped in the face because it's very possible that she could see a family member there because they would recognize me, but not her because they haven't seen her since she was two. But at the same time, how do you deal with a situation that like that's been a long time, but it's still so raw? You know, some parts of that is like, oh, yeah, I've done so much healing. But how, you know, it's just, man, I've been in such turmoil. It's interesting that you say something like that, because I think that's so powerful that you're able to get to the place where you're at right now. And I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I am just so honored that you would share that with me. You know, it's such a fraught, painful moment. Yes, I've had that. I experienced that this weekend too. Would I see the other woman? You know, would she be there? And I was expecting it. So it may not be the same situation, but the fear that something is going to sabotage your saint's place and a moment of pride and happiness, it's a similar type of thing. You've put up a cocoon, you're moving forward, but something can sabotage that and everything can come tumbling down. You know, it's same. You know what, though? What helped me was having a cocoon of people and energy. So for the final event, which my former husband threw, everybody stayed and rebooked their flights. So I had a protected force field, you know, because I invited them to all of the events. And when I got an invitation for that event, I was like, how am I going to go alone? It's so difficult, you know? And then they're like, we got you. And I showed up with all of these people and it was great. It was actually really great.
So I'm so happy for you. Oh, it sounded like it turned out so much better than you had expected, but how do you know, right? That's that fear part where you're like you said, yeah. So that's strength. It just shows where you're at. And I bet that like the closer you get to that, you know, pure healing, like you said, that's when the other person, you'll least expect it. And they're going to come and, you know, just show up at your doorstep, you know, and just be like, you came, you're here.
I believe it's true. I mean, in the very beginning, I was mad dating, trying so hard to fill a void. But when you're filling a void where you yourself are so deficient and hollow and in pain, you're only going to get similar type of energy. And I've worked really hard in the last few months to no longer look back, focus on a future, focus on a future of happiness, bliss, success, you know, financial security. My children are thriving. I'm thriving. I see myself in love. I see myself with a brilliant, bright, happy, abundant future. And that's when I believe it will just happen. That energy will come right back.
Yeah. Well, you're in the right space. I'm so like, this is such a beautiful moment for you because I think people forget midlife dating can be so amazing. Look, we can't plan the future.
Really?
It can. And I'll tell you why. Because you do not have parents that want you to marry some guy because you think that, oh, he can take care of you and give you good lives. Or there's no outside pressures. It's really all about what you want and who Deepa is in this moment, in this season that you're going through. I mean, you're going through so many other changes. It's not just relationship. I mean, relationship with yourselves, entrepreneurship, you know, how it is to be a mom for your children in a way that maybe you weren't when you were younger. I mean, there's all these beautiful moments. And I think people forget that this is your choice, 1,000% who you get to be with. You get to figure out where you're at, what you want, right? All about you. You don't have anybody. You don't have to find someone to help you raise the kids. You don't have to, you know, all of these things that we think about when we date people, when we have children or when we have parents that kind of are navigating us in a particular way because they think that's what's best for us. And we're young and naive. Well, right now you've lived life and you know what you want. And that's like a beautiful thing. And you're right. You're going to attract the person exactly where you're at in life. So when you were dating earlier, and you said you were hollow and you weren't fulfilled and you were hurting still, I'm sure that is a like-minded individual that you were finding on these dates.
And I absolutely was not probably respecting, you know, my own worth. And it was just about feeling that someone would be interested in me. But just like dating 25 years later, you know, or 30 years later, whatever, however many years it's been. But I honestly never loved dating the first time around. I thought it was so hard. It was constantly a roller coaster. You know, it's like you are looking for someone and then until you found that right person, it just always seemed like a ride, you know?
Yeah, that's my word.
Yeah.
What's that?
I didn't date a lot. I had like one boyfriend and then I got married. You know, so.
Well, think about when you're young, right? You don't even know who you are yet. You don't know what the things that you like. We're very, oh my gosh, I can't even think of the word, but we kind of definitely go with, oh, we'll try this. We'll go and we'll try this because we don't really know yet. And now you know, like I think that's the one empowering thing it is. And it's like when you're comfortable in your life and you're open, and I think it's really important that, and I believe you are. But when people are in their stage of dating, it's important to be open to all possibilities, right? You have your boundaries, your values, your beliefs, and those nobody's going to sway. You're going to make sure that those are similar and who you're looking for. But I can honestly say that you're going to find someone who's probably an entrepreneur, because I think that that would be a perfect person for you just to understand the intricacies of what it is to run a business, who's busy like you, but also you guys can connect in so many ways and kind of like-minded. Like I see you meeting someone at some event. It's just my personal feeling.
From your lips. I love
the universe.
Yes, put it out there. And I think that would be just a beautiful way for it to happen, just unexpectedly. But I'm very attracted to strong men, strong individuals who really are, I don't see myself as intimidating, but I suppose I have, you know, people have told me that I have a lot to give. I've achieved a lot and I continue to evolve. So that makes me probably, you know, that makes an impression. That makes an impression, you know, and I don't need money. I don't need anyone else's money. I don't need anyone else to take care of me. I feel very, very much able to stand on my own two feet. I did something for such a long time, and now I'm able to say that I've stepped into something else and something completely different, learned new skills, and have been accomplishing something completely different on my own. I didn't, you know, buy a practice. People taught me, but I pursued education or I pursued excellence in everything that I'm doing now. And I still have past education, everything I've done in the past that I can add value even now.
Yes. Yeah, so any man that's intimidated by you, that is not the person for you, first and foremost, because I think that there should be an admiration and they should look at you and say, wow, like I admire so much for everything that you went through and the things that you continue to push yourself in. That is a true man. And I know you say you don't need someone to financially take care of you. And that's great. I think that's wonderful. I think where men today have the confusion of like, well, if she doesn't need me financially, no, she needs you still to be the man and let her be in her feminine. That doesn't mean that you financially have to take care of her. You can if you want, but she doesn't need that. She needs you to be vulnerable, and she needs you to provide a safe space for her so that she can be in her feminine, right? And I think that's where a lot of men and women get things confused. Oh, we need a provider. Yes, we need him to provide us a safe space. We need him to provide us with other things. That just doesn't just mean finances.
So, do you want to hear a story? When I was 20 years old, I think I was 19, 20, something like that, around that age, I went on a date with someone. I liked him a lot. I went on one date with this person, but what I realized it about myself, when he dropped me off at home, he drove away before I got into my house. And I was like, I can't go out with this person. His instinct was not to make sure that I was safe and in my home. And when someone had set us up, and when I told this person that, she was so surprised that that mattered so much to me. But I was like, he did not make sure I got into my house, and it was dark, and I was a young girl, and I felt like that, you know, I do need to have that safety. I need to have someone care that I'm okay. I am not a feminist in that way. I like when someone opens the door for me. I like when someone pulls out a chair for me. I like when someone puts their hand on my back. You know, I love the story, by the way, of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I mean, it's given me hope. I'm totally, like, you know, stalking every story because it makes me believe that things are possible for, you know, strong women, and they can find someone who's comfortable in that space and will make you feel loved and seen.
Yes, because he's a man. There's no threat to his manlyhood or his confidence. He knows who she is. He's allowing her to be who she is. And that is a true, in my opinion, a true man. You know, that is someone that can protect her physically, emotionally, spiritually, in all these aspects. And she's able to be her true self. And I think that's the other thing to remember is you're just truly finding out who you are right now, and you're loving it. And I want someone to even show how more amazing you are. And just by like looking at the mirror, you know, it's just showing you another angle of yourself that will truly shine, because you're not going to dim your light for anybody, because nobody, like, you just, I think you don't even understand the person that you're going to meet is just going to be so much more than you expected.
Like I said, from your lips.
Okay, you heard God, you heard universe. But I thank you for being like super vulnerable too, because it's not easy to talk about as a, I don't even know how long I've been single, Deepa, like way too long. But honestly, I've had my radar off for so long, purposely. But as soon as I'm ready, then it'll open, you know, like, how do I say this? Because I've been so focused on raising my daughter and building a business that I'm proud of, and to form an identity of who I am at this age, and like, who is Celeste? Just like, I'm sure you went through quite a bit of like, who's Deepa? Like, what do I like? Career changes and personal changes and all these things. And I think it's okay, because then when you finally are like, okay, I'm good with who I am, I'm not stopping growing, but like, okay, I'm ready. Like, and then
you need to do a trip together.
Yeah. Yes. You got to come to New York. I'll with a couple of us going to New York, but
I have lots of that. I was raised. That's where I'm from, and that's where my family is. And I'm going to be moving back there eventually. Not too far.
Really?
Yep.
What part?
I grew up in Long Island, and I went to undergrad and medical school in Brooklyn. And I lived in Park Slope for a long time. I lived in New York City in the early part of my training. And then I met my husband. So I left. But otherwise, I would never have really seen myself leaving. I love New York. Yeah. And all of my kids I know will end up back there. So right now I have my business, but doesn't mean that things have to stay as they are. I can move, right? Yeah. So I'm not investing that as well. And it's, I think that it's a place I was meant to go back to and be.
Yeah, I love it there too. We lived in Hoboken for 9 years, so close.
Yeah, Hoboken, it's an extension of the city.
You That's know. What they say, the sixth borough. Well, real New Yorkers don't like it.
People from New York, there's only one city, the city. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are you going into the city? I'm going to the city. And everyone's like, the world doesn't revolve around New York. Yes, it does.
It does. Yes, it does. Well, it's beautiful. I am wishing that all this stuff is going to happen because I truly believe it. And I know you believe it too. So.
For you as well, my sister.
Yes. Well, is there anything going on that you would like to tell people listening that's something exciting or not yet?
I had an amazing trip. I recently went to China, just recovering from jet lag, and I'm still processing the experience, but it was, and this is all in a business aspect, but it was a huge thing to do something completely different without knowing where it would take you. My goal was to build an e-commerce business. Do you remember we met Athena?
Yes.
So that's how this all started. So I went on this trip with a bunch of people I didn't know, and I found some amazing connections there that were, you know, I think to potentially reshape a future for people. That so I'm excited to go back, and you know, there's a couple of exciting products. One that's really huge that has the potential for rejuvenation, acne, pigment, but beyond that, I think it has cancer curing potential. And my dear sibling died 3 years ago of glioblastoma. And since I've left China, I've been messaging this new friend of mine who has this business and this innovative treatment. And I am just so excited about the possibilities. You know, obviously new technology for a face mask, but beyond that, the healing possibilities for everything, because it heals from the inside out. And on your head, it can grow hair. On your face, it improves your skin quality, redness, pigment, acne in 2 days. On your body, it can cure pain, like chronic pain. And I immediately knew that this was something special, and I wanted to be a part of it. I'm grateful that interaction was mutual. And so I'm really, really excited. And I've had all of these dreams of where I'm going to go next, but I'm open to the possibility that maybe it's not going to be exactly as I planned. And when that happens, everything can happen, right? It can be a tremendous opportunity to change lives, to impact people in other ways. It can be an opportunity for love. It can be an opportunity for a bright future. It can be so many different things. I was open to it. And because I was open to it and I didn't let the fear that was in the back of my mind or spending money that I didn't know was going to be fruitful or not hold me back from an opportunity that could potentially, you know, be monumental.
Wow. That's so amazing. I can't wait to hear more and see your journey with that. That's literally life-changing. And again, I'm so sorry for your loss.
This weekend was the first weekend that the void of this huge personality that is my brother felt wasn't like an exclamation point, because in all of our hearing, we could feel him without feeling the void of him, if that makes sense. We could feel his presence, but it wasn't a punctuated loss and the sadness of not having him.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful. I can't wait for you. I can hear it in your voice.
Thank you so much. I don't know. I feel like we're extremely connected and I love you so much. You know, sometimes we're on calls together and on the backside, there'll be a text, "You're so beautiful. I love you." And, you know, we'll just do a little mini text to each other, you know, when we're on a great call or something. You have such a bright, 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 bright light. And you are shining. Every time I see you, I feel your warmth, your energy, and your love. I'm grateful to call you my friend. And I'm grateful to have an opportunity to spend time with you in person, on a podcast, on a group call, in a room, all of the above. You're brilliant. You're just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Thank you, Deepa. Like, seriously, I feel the same way. And just, you know, when two souls really like connect, it's not too common. So you're just a warm, warm soul. And I just love you too. So thank you for that. You made my destiny.
For every day to be celebrating you. You really do. You really, really do. And I know that this event that, you know, that you're going to be facing is going to be okay. And I think that still you should plan for the scenario of where you have that cocoon, because then that's where your energy will be protected. And, you know, you'll be able to be in that space where everything's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, this is like the best ever. Well, I hope everybody took something back from learning from you, from Deepa here, and was able to find something where you can bring this into your dating life or any relationship for that matter. Thank you again for sharing and enlightening everybody here with us today. It's clear that taking care of your exterior isn't just about aesthetics, though. It's about feeling confident, empowered, and ready to take on the world of dating and beyond. Remember, it's never too late to start anew, whether it's your look or your love life. Until next time, keep shining bright and stay down and dirty with Celeste Moore. Don't forget to follow us for more inspiring stories and transformative advice. Bye for now.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, CelesteMoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.